Continuing our Akdama, some fascinating thoughts from the Isha Yisrael, from the Gra. And here in the Akdama, he's quoting the Shla Kodesh, and a few things that we have to know about davening. Harishay, v'hu ha'goyim ha'godol shevakulam, and this is something that affects, it's the greatest one that affects all of them. What is that? Torah. So what's the connection between Torah and Tefillah? Da, you should know. Ki kesheyar b'ha'odam ha'esik b'teiru v'mitzvahs, when a person is oisik in creating more Torah and mitzvahs, he continuously learns more and more, and he does more mitzvahs, hinei b'siva zeh, u'be'emtsuoy so yiskar v'alekim b'izavekilov. Through this medium, He will be connecting himself to the Rebbeinu. It will help cement his love and his yira for the Rebbeinu Shalom in his heart. And then when he'll get up to daven, but then it won't be hard for him to have the proper kavanas. It'll be very easy for him to have kavanah. He taketh immediately. Immediately he'll find the Rebbeinu Shalom, Yisbarach Shemoy, is in his mind, is in his thoughts, because he's prepared for this. So he says an unbelievable insight here that, in other words, how a person, tefillah, is how a person runs his whole day. If he's thinking about the Rebbeinu Shalom, the more, how do we connect to the Rebbeinu Shalom? The Rebbeinu Shalom gave us the Teriyak Teisha. That's our connection. In the Teriyak Teisha, we have all the mitzvahs. If a person learns the Torah and follows the mitzvahs, the more Torah he learns, the more mitzvahs he does, the more he has a connection to the Rebbeinu Shalom. The more he has a connection to the Rebbeinu Shalom, the easier it is to have kavanah, to think when he's davening of who he's davening to and what his purpose is. And that's what we said there. We said a pshat about meya brachas, about 100 brachas. What's the point in what's one of the reasons why perhaps we say make 100 brachas? It sounds like a lot. I mean, we have shachas, mincha, maariv. The point is because they're making brachas, making at least 100 brachas a day, it keeps us, our thoughts on the Rebbeinu Shalom. And the more we have our thoughts on the Rebbeinu Shalom, we're not talking about mumbling brachas, we're talking about trying to, you know, make brachas in the proper way, which we all have to work on, and that'll help a person automatically have kavana because he's already thinking about the Rebbeinu Shalom. Another thing, chidush, something new, to be mechadish something. Ritzoni loymar sheyechadish divrei tachnunim usheelos ubakoshes b'ktzaz berachas atfila im loy bekulam. A person should be used to, should do, he should add tachnunim, he should add requests and shelos, and at least some of the berachas and tefila. When a person is davening Shemoneh Esrei, Chazal say you can add things in it. And he says you should add things, but you shouldn't just add the same things every day. Certain people, so they know they can add. So every time they get to a Baruch Aleinu, they daven, and Baruch Hashem, give me $10 million. You know, but by the time already, every time that they're saying it, it's really like the same rest of davening where they're doing it by rote. And Baruch Aleinu, and give me $10 million, Baruch Hashem, you know. So there's no thought still. He says that you should be mechadish something new, different every time. What's going on in your life? You're talking to God. You're talking to the Melech Malchim Malchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who can do something, who not, can. He runs the world. And he can affect whatever he wants. So if you think about, what do I need today? What do I want from the Rebbeinu Shalom today? What can I thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for today? That gives you, you're thinking more about what is it that I'm doing? What am I trying to accomplish? And these chidushim, it will cause his heart to have kavanah. And if a person is not mechadish something in his tefillah, it's very hard to have kavanah. If a person makes his tefillah say keva, he's touching keva, means it's steady, which means it's the same tefillah every single time. There's no difference. That's very hard to have kavanah. The reason is, as we said, and so the person ends up with the nature, he gets used to doing it, he does it by rote. A person can't be mechadish something new every time, he's not thinking about it. It says in Yerushalmi, what is the Tanakh with Avraham, he said thank you to him, his feet that automatically by moiden he bows. That's what I can imagine not, but that's what he's saying. But automatically, we're not even thinking about it. Everything is automatic. He's saying, but if you every time you daven, you say I have to be mechadish something, that can't happen by rote. You have to think, what do I want to be mechadish, and that'll cause you to have kavan. He says, "Say davar. If he writes Sarah Adam Lamasha Shabbat Filasa Yabra Kavanase, the more a person could think about what he has to ask for, the more Kavan he can have. And the less he has to ask, the less he's in Kavana. Lachain. Ish barrier, if you have, he's asking a question. Whenever you have someone who's healthy and rich and has shalom bayis and has healthy children, has good children, let's assume there's such a person that has just everything going for him. There's just everything good. So now he comes to Shemoneh Esrei, and maybe he should be, certainly he should be thanking the Baruch Shalom and Moedim, and he should be thanking the Baruch Shalom. But in terms of Bakashas to ask, what is he asking for? He's got everything. Everything is just perfect. He has a hunky-dory perfect life. So what is he going to ask for? L'chein ish barrier, if you have a person who's healthy, v'ashir, and he's rich, sh'ashem v'achini lo yikshel av ma'id l'chav. It's very hard to have kavana. And how do you fix that? How do you have kavana? Person has to realize that it's not because of him. It's not because he's a smart guy that he got rich. That's not the reason why. The Baruch Shalom is the one who gave it to him. The Baruch Shalom sent him this bracha. He should think about someone who's rich, that bad things happen to that person, and he lost all his money. He should say, that can happen to me, I should bow him that I should stage. So this is a big innocent already, he's saying it, but someone who Baruch Hashem has everything, so it's, what we're saying is that the thing before we said is, you should mechadish something, means is that I have needs. What do I need today? Today I need, I have a big deal I'm going through, I should have made out a deal. Today I know my son is having a big test and he should do well. Yeah? Everything that you need, you're davening for. But someone that's just everything perfect, he says that's even harder. But he has to think about the people who don't have and know that everything doesn't come from him, but it comes from the Baruch Hashem. There's a story that there was a person who went to his rabbi, and he says, listen, what should I do? I need a schooler. I have this, for years I've been struggling with Parnassa. I have an opportunity to get a deal today. The deal, we're talking about, it's multi-millions. I'm gonna make millions of dollars on the deal. I need a schooler. What should I do for a schooler that it should work, that I should get this deal? So the Rav says, listen, I'll pay you a schooler. He says, you should daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam that the deal should go through. And you should tell the Ribbono Shel Olam that if the deal goes through, immediately when you get the money, not technically, halachically, it could be you can get cheshbon once a year and get stuck. At the end of the year, you can say the same way you're doing your tax returns. At the end of the year, make a cheshbon. I made the $10,000 this year. I'm going to give meiser, so on and so forth. You don't have to give it every time you made $10. You don't necessarily have to go run and give a dollar. Marsh talks about it in the Shuvas. But the meiser, so you're saying you're going to guarantee you're going to give 20% of whatever you make on this deal. You're going to give it immediately to Tzedakah, to such and such place. Guy says, okay, wonderful, I'm going to do it, thank you. He leaves, and the next day, everybody sees him, this guy again was struggling for Parnassa. The next day he rolls up in a fancy Lexus, and all of a sudden the scaffolding going up around his house, and there's a big picture of what looks like a building, a mansion, of what his new mansion is going to look like. Obviously the deal went through, and the Rav is waiting. And he sees that the money didn't come to the tzedakah. He's supposed to give to the tzedakah. He waits a week, he waits 2 weeks, maybe he forgot. He's getting it, he didn't get the money yet. He got the car on a loan, the money didn't come yet, so he doesn't have what to give. Okay. After a while he says, okay, something's wrong here. Like what happened? So he goes over to him and he says, Rabbi, you know, you came to me before and you wanted a skula, and I told you you should daven to the Rebbeinu Shalom, and you should tell the Rebbeinu Shalom, make a deal that if you're gonna, if it's gonna work and you're gonna, the deal's gonna go through, you know, that you're gonna give 20% immediately. You know, did you give it already? I mean, you know, he didn't. Did you give it already? So he says, yeah, it's funny you should ask. I'll tell you what happened. Very simple. I went home, I listened to what you said, I davened to the Rebbeinu Shalom, and I made him the deal. I'm going to give 20% immediately. If the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to help me, I'm going to get the deal. But you know what happened? That day, I figured out a chap, how I can save this person who I was going to try to get the deal from, I could save him $10 million. So not only is he, I told him, he's going to give me the deal, I'll make my money, but I'm going to save him $10 million you never even dreamed of. So I don't do the brush. I came up with this hop. And the Rav looks at me, yay, yay, yay. Sometimes we don't realize what's in the brush. The old story sometimes it goes the other way. There's a story about it. There was a big flood in the town, and everything was getting washed away. Everything was just going, the water was flowing through the town, getting washed away. There's one year that says, I have betochen, the Rebbeinu Shalom, not doing anything. And he's standing there, and the flooding, the houses are just floating away, and everything's flowing away. He's on a board. And all of a sudden, the helicopter comes with a rope hanging down, and the guy's yelling, grab hold! And the guy says, no, I have betochen, the Rebbeinu Shalom. The guy dies, he comes up to Shemai and say, fool, why don't you take the rope? He says, I have betochen in the Rebbeinu Shalom. The guy says, you're a fool. That was me. The Rebbeinu Shalom was sending you the rope. I was trying to save you. Sometimes we don't see it either way. But over here you have the person who, you know, people convince themselves, they dive into the Rebbeinu Shalom and they don't have the deal. But the second they get rich, the second that, it's because of my great chap. Who do you think gave you the chap? Who do you think gave you the koyach to come up with the chap? If the Rebbeinu Shalom giving it to you, if we don't see it, but in the terms of a miracle, you know, then it's what I did, not from the Rebbeinu Shalom. Another point he says here, hachona, the preparation. She yase hachona lelibo lechavon. You should prepare your heart to have kavana. The kesad machinim esalev, and how do you prepare your heart? Koydim sheyachim lespal, before you get up to daven, yeshev ma'at brotel v'daimim. You should sit there and do nothing. Just sit down and have nothing to do. Now look at your cell phone, don't talk to people. And get all the thoughts of what is going on in your life, get it out of your heart. Not the thoughts that you're going to dive into the Rebbeinu Shalom, but all your other thoughts about what you're doing and what you ate for breakfast and what you're going to have for lunch and everything. And you should start thinking about the greatness of the one who said that it's going to be a world, the Rebbeinu Shalom, your greatness and the nefois, the nerois, the gerois of the ayah and nerois, the greatness of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Start thinking about it. All the wonderful chasad that the Baruch Hashem did. From all the sicknesses they save people from. You have to think about it. You have to sit there, even for, if someone could sit down and do this for, let's say how long. It says in the Morim Brachos, the chasidim and the rishonim used to come 1 hour before davening. I didn't say 1 hour, maybe even a minute or two. Just to start thinking, what am I going to do now? And then he says one other point which I found very interesting. He says, Shachin, kishiyu shachnei adam mitzayni loy ma'ayyashim etzem ispalam b'kavana, yekel avachavani b'gamu. If you're sitting next to a person who's having kavana by davening, it's easier for you to have kavana. Ah, kishiyu yashin etzle anshe lotzayn mispalam shle b'kavana, so a person, if you're sitting next to people who don't have kavana and are sitting there mumbling or worse, talking in the shul, then you're not going to have kavana. He said, when it says oily rasha ala shchene, woe to the evil, woe to his neighbor, is talking about by davening. He says same thing. Person, you should make sure you have to be in an atmosphere when you daven, an atmosphere where people have the right hashkafas, and they're trying to have kavana like you, or even better than you. If I care, if you can go to a place that's even better than you, then you have a better chance of growing. But at least you shouldn't go to a place where they're not doing things the proper way. The Noyan Megodin has a question, and the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed. The Gemara tells us which way you're supposed to face when you daven Shema Esrei. So the Gemara says, if you're Chutz Laretz, you should face towards your Eretz Yisrael. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you should face towards Yerushalayim. If you're in Yerushalayim, you should face towards the Beis HaMikdash. If you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you should face towards the Katshei Katshei. Back to the name of God. Why don't you just tell everybody, face the Katshei Katshei? Why are you going to give me a whole thing? What's all these steps? So the name of God explains that it's teaching you what you say in Ruchnius. In Ruchnius, a person has to go step by step. He shouldn't think that all of a sudden, one day, he's all of a sudden just going to just fly in Ruchnius and be on a different level. He's not. It's a step-by-step process. And I'd like to say the same point, we're talking about by tefillah over here, but it's a way of tefillah. It's a way for us to work on our tefillah is, you should know is, that don't try to take everything that we're saying in one shot and try to use it all, but rather try to take one thing at a time, step-by-step. How am I going to make my tefillah better? What can I accomplish? How can I do it? But it should be a step-by-step process. The portal, the tefillahs go to the Katshei Katshim because there's a portal, there's a straight from Shemayim down to the Makom HaMikdash was, that's where it goes straight up to Shemayim. Eretz Yisrael is a very holy place, certainly, and that's what we're supposed to be facing. And the Gemara tells us, whenever the person doesn't know what direction he's in, you should have in your heart, where are you diving towards? That's even more important than facing the right place. If someone is facing the wrong way, but he's thinking about facing towards the Makom HaMikdash, which is, again, Kedusha, that's certainly greater than someone who's not thinking about what he's saying and is facing the right direction. Chazal tell us, Tu B'Av is a great Yom Tov. A couple of reasons. One of the reasons Tu B'Av was a great Yom Tov was because the people in the Midbar stopped dying. Now the question is, what do you think they stopped dying? It's the 600,000 was paskin that they're going to die, right? They did the Chet HaEgel, and all 600,000 were going to die in the Midbar. So it's a big Yom Tov that they're all dead now. Why is that a Yom Tov? 600,000, Baruch Hashem, they're all dead. Then that's not a Yom Tov. So Chazal tell us that no, the last group of people didn't die. What happened was that every single year, let's assume there was, the Chazal didn't say exactly how it's split up, but let's assume that there's 40 years in the Midbar, every year 15,000 people died. And 40 years, 15,000, 600,000 people died. So every year the Chazal tell us, everyone dug graves. Before it came time, they dug graves. And they all died. They lay down in the grave. So they made it easier. Many of them died. And the one that didn't get up, and they covered the people that were dead, and they waited till next year, they had another year to live. The last group of people, that last year, they lived. And they didn't know until Tu B'Av that they were going to live. It says because once the moon came out, they weren't sure, maybe they made a mistake. They made a cheshbon, Tisha B'Av, they were supposed to die. Every year Tisha B'Av, that was the day. So they made a cheshbon, by Tu B'Av, they said, oh, it can't be, we didn't make a mistake this far, which means the Tisha B'Av for sure passed, and we're alive, Baruch Hashem, we're alive, and that was the big Yom Tov. They shake the chazan. What's the Yisrael? Why were they Zeichet to live? It's an unbelievable thought to think about. It's a very hard concept of how we can attain it, but we should know this point. The first year, everyone, all 600,000, probably saw dug graves, and they all lay down. Now, a person is laying in the grave, and he thinks, I might die. 15,000 Yidden of us are going to die. But you know what? I might be from the 585,000 that are not going to die. So I'm going to eat down to Hashem, but statistics are still on my side. 2 years before the last year, second to last year, there's 30,000 people left. A person goes and lays down in the grave, he davens to Hashem, please let me live another year. I still have a 50-50 chance of living, because only 50% of us are going to die, and the rest of us are going to live anyways. So you're not convinced that, I'm not convinced I need to run Shalom. Maybe I'm going to make it anyways. That last year, the 15,000 that were left, they went in the grave. That's it. There's no more, maybe I won't die this year. This was it. They're all going to die. They davened, Ain oid mavade. They realize there's only one. There isn't statistics. There isn't your friend down the block who you know who has a lot of money who can help you, or the doctor that you know, top doctor who maybe you could think can help you. There's only one person that could save them. The Ribbono Shel Olam. Kol kulay, understanding that there's nothing else. And if a friend helps you and a doctor helps you, it's coming from Hashem. But sometimes it's very hard for the human mind is that the Chayes Avava says every rich man should know that every time someone agrees with him, they're not agreeing with him because they agree with him. They're agreeing with him because he's rich and they're hoping someday they'll get something out of it because they agree with him, I'll get some money somehow, somewhere. People like, a lot of people like being around rich people, They think it'll rub off somehow. But that last year, they had no hope. There's only one hope they had, the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you daven like that, with such kavanah, realizing Ein Oid Mavadei, the tefillah that even technically there was a decree that they should die, the decree was annulled and they lived. Unbelievable to think about. One last thing to talk about before is just an interesting pshat in last week's parasha, and it applies to davening, certainly. And a question. The Eretz Tzvi, the Kozhikova, has a question. He wants to know, why did this last week's parasha, we had this whole charade with Yaakov Avinu, we spoke about in the parasha this year, but there was a whole charade with Yaakov coming to get the brachas, and he put on Esav's thing, and he brought the food, and Rivka was involved, and Esav went out, and that Yaakov got the brachas in a quote-unquote a way of trickery. What's the pshat? Why was it necessary? Why? So the Goyim says a pshat, a beautiful pshat, but he says is that the whole concept of Yaakov getting the brachas, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they were a tikkun for the ched of Adam Harishon. They had to be mesaken, they had to fix the ched of Adam Harishon. So how do you fix the ched of Adam Harishon? It has to be the same way the ched occurred, the tikkun had to be in the same fashion. So the Nachash tricked Chava with words, and that's how she got them to do the chet. So they had to be, Yaakov had to trick Kein Yitzchak with words to get the brachas. That's very straight from the Goyim. Words that maybe we don't understand very well, but there's a connection between the chet of the Marishan and the Avos and the brachas specifically. But the Kozhikov says that the reason why Yaakov had to get the brachas in this manner was because, can you imagine? Yaakov came to Yitzchak, his father, and he's getting the brachas, and he's thinking, my father doesn't want to give me the brachas. Shiftless Adam, he's like, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. He's not like, he couldn't become like a big shot in here. I'm an important person, my father wants to give me the brachas. Oh, beautiful. Can you imagine? He's giving him the brachas and he thinks he's Esav. How low did Yaakov feel? He felt like a nothing. That is the only way the brachas can mekuyim. The brachas on this world, it says in the Moran Tzoyta and Daf, hey, ein anu anivu hu yachalod ba'ol ba'achas. Me and him, who's him? The gas is a real, someone's a big shot. We can't live in the same world. Bracha, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't shower bracha to be the real brachas. You can see some of the people who got the Saruach, a big shot to get rich. But the real brachas that we want in this world are only mekuyim on someone's shifus Adam. Another. So we have a few, we're going to end our Akdom over here, that when we daven, there's a few things we have to keep in mind. Listen, we have to know who we're standing in front of. The Melech, Malchim, Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to be in honor, not sit there and say, Baruch Hashem, you owe it to me, I have schusim coming to me. Baruch Hashem owes us nothing. Everything that we're able to accomplish, mitzvahs, is only because of the Baruch Hashem. He owes us nothing. But nonetheless, we ask for the Baruch Hashem help. Ein oid mavadei, realizing there is no one else but the Baruch Hashem. And as we started off tonight's share, Torah. A person has to connect himself. It's not just a temporary thing of, I'm going to daven now, I'm going to have kavana. But the only way to really, to accomplish having the proper kavana is to attach yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam throughout your day. Torah and mitzvahs, that's the way to connect yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We start in the morning, first thing, when you get up in the morning, we're supposed to say, Moide ani lefanecha, melech hai bekayam, shehechazarta binishmosi bechemla, rabba munasecha. I give thanks before you, living and eternal God. You have returned my soul to me with compassion. And then Rabba Munasecha goes together. It's not Chemla Rabba, but it's Chemla, Kama. Rabba Munasecha, great is your faithfulness. And we'll see. That why I'm saying specifically a kama. The rabbi, not that rechem la rabbi is incorrect. Doesn't make sense. It makes sense, but it's not the pshat. Rechem la rabbi munasecha is quoting a pasuk in Eicha, which we will discuss. It says in the Seder Hayoyim, the Rebbe, the Maral, uvekumai. And when a person gets up, yoimer miyad. Moida ani lefanecha melechai v'kayim shechazarte b'nishmasi b'chemla rabbi munasecha. And you don't have to even wash the tefillah shidayim before you say this. Even though your hands are dirty, perhaps you're not even saying the shame Hashem. It's not the shame Hashem, and there's no problem with saying this. And a person should say this even before he washes the tefillah shidayim. It says over here, who harishon? The Seder Hayom is the first one. Shehevi nusach hamoida ani. Who brings down this nusach of Moida Ani Hamakubo be Yisrael Omer Bekumen Breaker, which was Klai Yisrael accepted upon themselves to say when they wake up in the morning. It says in the Nefesh Shimshon, it says, what's going on? Why specifically do we say Moida Ani? Moida Ani Skula Tuma. Milvad hanachitze shibamiris meida ani tumuna bamiris milim elu gam skula atzuma kishen nemrim kiroi. When these words are said in the proper fashion, they have tremendous kaifas. Why? Besefer kesa roish huva mirab chayim veloshin zatzal sheomar shekfitzuras kima sa'olim babaiker. The way, the fashion a person wakes up in the morning and gets up. That he accepts upon himself at that point to be mekabel l'ol Torah, lilmaid v'hatsmada atzuma, to learn Torah with hatsmada, tremendous hatsmada. V'lasis l'shem dover l'afrilei v'limudei, he's not going to anything stop him. Kach yiskei v'chadish baruch hu alez b'rib meshach kol esidem. The Baruch Hashem is going to allow him to take a half to serve his b'rib, the Baruch Hashem, the entire day. He says, learning, doing mitzvahs, like we said, even if someone goes to work, that a person has to realize that he's focused on his Torah and his learning, even if he has to go to work, but he's always thinking about when he's going to be able to go learn. Kiloimer, asiyas esik miyuchin yashkomz habayker nesenis laadim siyatu dishmaya shetafay foyseh laachem mikain shemeshakolyin. This will give a person help and strength in the shemayim all day to do the avodas Hashem. They avoid this ritzinus hanasas habayker nisin salik rabim meham mefriim halamid berabim and nesjenis shabam laadim meshakolyin. So help him protect him from nesjenis and all different tests. Yisayim mizayis. The Gemara in Akka says, the way a person wants to go, that's the way the Baruch Hashem, the Shemayim helps him. So a person shows right away when he wakes up in the morning. You appreciate the Baruch Hashem. You're thanking the Baruch Hashem. You have Torah in your mind. You're supposed to be thinking about it. I want to learn Torah today. I want it to be a good day. What I'm going to do proper today, then it's going to work. Take it. If a person shows it, as soon as he wakes up, he reveals that this is what he wants. It certainly is moide that he wants to thank the Baruch Hashem and appreciate what he has. He'll have tremendous siyata d'shmaya. And he goes right there. I'm skipping around a little bit. Ma'adua dafka milan elu nifchal yis and milan yishrein shalalad lomar beishu kama hashina. Why specifically these words? Now, do you want to say that I have a mind and I'm going to learn the whole day, and I'm not going to say learn the whole day, but I'm going to have a voice of Hashem the whole day? Fine. But what are these words specifically? Adam kama breaker. Person wakes up in the morning. Paseachas enav. He opens up his eyes. Ma'u adav yishin shupayish. Shuraya Mari, that's the first person the person sees and thinks. As a dover hachi kari beloved, as atzmai ha'ani. The normal thing a person sees is ani. Myself. What does that mean? Husayel atzmai. He worries about himself. He wakes up in the morning, he starts thinking about himself. Hey, ani adayin oye. Am I tired still? You should not see myself, not speak. Maybe I didn't, did I get enough sleep? He wakes up in the morning, what's that? Wait. It's only 6 o'clock. I need another hour of sleep. Yishnasi toiv or lo yishanti toiv. Did I sleep well? Did I not sleep well? Harish toiv or lo. Do I have a headache? Do I not have a headache? He starts making chesbonis about himself. I don't know if a person, and most people don't have a checklist that you can take out of paper and a pen, but he's saying these are thoughts on some level that won't go through a person's mind. Lochein hamila yishen hu moide. Lost the kodesh baruch was a red guy. That person gives away this moment. When a normal person who thinks about a need, he gives it to the Baruch Hashem. Lochoides ki loy anizu Elamoida. The first word is Moida. It's not Ani, but Moida is the first word. Moida Ani, Moida is the first word. He doesn't think of himself as anything important. He says that the Ibn Sham returned. Hazati, Ibn Sham returned my neshama. It's the Ibn Sham's neshama, and he'd be nice enough to give it to me again. He realizes that his whole mitzvah in his whole life shakol mimenu yisbarach is often the branch of him. He brings himself into the rishus of the branch of him. The branch of him worries about him. The branch of him worries for him, he doesn't have to worry. The person wakes up, then I sleep enough, do I have a headache, am I tired, right away, oh, what about the big deal I have? A person has to take this word, moide, with him throughout the whole day. Well, das l'mi anu sheyachin. Zuhi atori shel kulanu. Baruch Hashem, kol echad meitonu machsis atzmei lo'ovid Hashem. Every one of us consider ourselves an ovid Hashem. V'choy shel atzmei, and he writes to the middle as well, I want to daven, I want to learn. Person thinks, I. And I'll show about me shall I need to say most Yehudi. He says, I want to be, I'm important, I'm a good Jew, I am. And he's saying to Ani, that's not good. Yehudi Wa Hashem, who let me tell you Rakushum Kad Brochot Siva Lovomai. Well, let me show Shakah who writes it. A person starts the day with moida. That there's a master over the castle, over the mansion. The Ibn Sham is the one who tells me and guides me on what I should do. And how I should act in every prat. It's amazing. You have the halachas of how to do everything, how to eat, to hold it when you're making a bracha if you're right, to hold the food in your right hand, how you go to the bathroom, everything, every chol prat, kol nir achas. If a person says the word moida properly when he starts with the morning, his whole day will look good. Shafayach, have a good night.